Dave Fanning on 2FM.
2FM. Now, sitting in front of me is half of Lancome. Hello, half of Lancome. How are you?
Hello. Good.
Rady and Ian, how are you? Are you all right? Let's just see where we are at this stage of the game. You know, funny thing is, lots of people obviously know Lancome. The gigs are coming up on 4 and 5 of January, is that right?
Yeah, that's
4
it,
and 5
yeah.
in Vicar Street.
Yeah.
And any it. More around that I didn't mention?
In Dublin. Oh, Galway on New Year's Eve.
Galway it is on New Year's Eve. That'll be a good one.
Yeah.
4 and 5 a week later in Vicar Street in Dublin.
Yeah.
Okay. When people describe Lancome, I mean, there's so many different ways. One of them is like, could we start at politically aware folk, or is that a bit too much?
That's probably a bit too much.
Is it? Okay. How about it very direct and very edgy, and like basically the folk has a habit of possibly becoming stale sometimes, and if it's not reinvented all the time, it will become stale, and the people doing that reinvention in 2019 into 2020 are most definitely the band that's been around for a few years. Lancome.
See, I don't actually, I'm not really into the term reinvention, because I'm actually like, I come from a like a folk and traditional background,
yeah.
And like, I'm very,
but
like,
sometimes it needs a kick up the earth.
No, I think that's arrogant actually to say that to think that any tradition needs
to
do anything with it. You
yeah.
know what I mean? Like, it's true. I think we're led much more by our own tastes, you know, and more kind of by emotional honesty in what you're trying to do or whatever. But like, yeah, I've always, whenever people talk about like innovating or, you know, changing traditions, I'm always a bit like, yeah, like, probably doesn't need that done to it, because it's particularly our tradition here is in an extremely healthy state. Like, there's amazing music being played all over the place.
Yeah,
it's just about like what you is it like, we're individuals, you know what I mean? And when you start making music as a, you know, like putting out an album and being like, this is a piece of art that we made together, you know, just the parameters change a bit. You know?
Yeah, okay. Well, then what about things like when you play and do your sessions at the Cobblestone or Devitt's or Thomas House or whatever, those kind of things? Have you still got time for them? And do you learn from the other people that come in and do it as well? And it's just like, you know, anybody does everything, and it's very important to the basis of the music of Lancome?
I think we maybe are a bit weird in that how we relax after being on tour,
right.
And how we take a break from music to play more music. But like, yeah, that is actually a good way of resetting your brain to go in and kind of just do informal, you know, tunes and the kind of session music like that. Like, unfortunately, we don't get as much time, nearly as much time as we used to. But it's certainly something like I'll never give up doing.
And the same with you, Ian, is it? Like, it's very important, all that kind of thing.
I think so, yeah. I think it just, you know, keep it real and realise that's where the kind of the music that we all really are into and that we love, that's where it lives and that's where it breeds, and that's almost, that's where it belongs. You know, it's in the pub and it's in the kitchens, and you know, that's where it's at. And you can still go and, like, yeah, it's still like hearing people singing songs that blow you away or playing tunes.
Yeah,
like, oh, yeah, I want to learn that one. It's, yeah.
And absolutely. Do you really, like, have you, like, if there are always different kinds of songs and different kind of places and different kind of instruments, are you introducing new instruments a lot of the time? For instance, like with Noel Hill and the Piper's Club and lessons and all those kind of things. All of those things are important, aren't they, in terms of where you are
You've
now?
You've done your research. How do you know?
How's the bouzouki
that?
These
How
days?
How do you know all that? Yeah, like, I suppose I'm just a bit like, I'm very distractible with instruments, but I suppose the running theme in all the instruments that I keep introducing or starting to play or whatever is mostly that they're reed instruments, like steel
yeah.
reed. It's just that I've been trying to find like lower ones, bassier ones, bigger drones the whole time. You know,
well,
I mean?
Then on
so
that level, if you
quest.
Take the fiddle or the harmonium or the pipes or whatever, is it with Lancome that you have to get or want to try and get the almost kind of ominous, more heavy sound all the time?
Absolutely.
Oh,
yeah,
it is.
Definitely. Yeah.
Absolutely.
I didn't think you'd answer that so quickly.
And that's both like the instruments we're using and maybe the arrangements, but also like there's like the fifth member of our band is actually our sound engineer, and he produces
yeah.
the album and stuff, and he like plays a really key role in that as well, just in terms of getting the most out of those instruments and the arrangements and stuff, and maybe adding that kind of ominous.
Yeah, that's kind of what I mean. Would you say like that this album, the harmonium in particular, like there's something about Cormac and that, and Cormac the harmonium that is...
Yeah, there's a lot of Cormac playing and there's a lot of harmonium, I suppose. But yeah, like there's a lot of harmonium on it. There's a lot of kind of low reed stuff. There's like double bass, there's viola, there's pipes, there's organ, there's Wurlitzer. There's a whole range of instruments that you might not pick out straight away.
Old vibraphone.
Yeah.
The vibraphone and the
yeah.
Russian accordion. All
the
yeah.
Bayan,
yeah.
The Bayan,
yeah, I love that accordion.
Yeah, yeah. The Bayan, is that what it's called?
Yeah.
So let's take another look then of trying to describe in some ways, because, you know, if you take the way traditional ballads were, there is a reinterpretation in many ways. There just is. There's a sound that will invite an awful lot of people into this that mightn't have invited them into a session in a pub or something else. Like, you are different, no? I mean, the same way as what the Botties and Planxty might have done to certain folk music 30, 40 years ago. That kind of thing. Like, some people have said the Pogues 80s. I don't see that at all. But I do see Botty Band and Planxty and what they did to music and what you're doing with that. And I'm not going to try and use the word reinvention if you don't allow it.
Yeah. Oh, it's fine. Yeah, like, I suppose it's just that thing of, like, you filter it through your own tastes. So while we also, like, while we're all into traditional music and the ballads, and that's really, like, kind of close to our hearts, we listen to a lot of, like, really a very wide range of music. And what we're into and what we listen to colours then what the arrangements turn into. And so we want to hear it differently, you know, and... yeah, I don't know. I think it's
about being honest to the musical reality that exists inside your head, you know,
and trying to just. And the music reality that might exist inside the heads of the four Lancoms is possibly a lot of the punk attitude, let alone the punk music.
Well, yeah, both of those things, like, yeah, metal anthem from, like, classic 80s metal to second wave Scandinavian black metal, all, you know, lots of extreme heavy music, you know, and on one end, and also lots of nice. Lighter ambient music, you know, yeah, like some Brian Eno,
psychedelic
and things
stuff,
like that, you
and
know?
Yeah, and like we've mentioned krautrock a lot because it is one of kind of the genres we are very united on, and yeah, like there's just so many different kind of types of music that come into play because they are big influences for us, you know, and it makes total sense to us, you know, like that's our musical reality in our heads, but yeah, I can see why on paper it might look like odd combinations, but.
Of
they're not.
Okay, I'm going to play a track, the Young People track. Just explain me to that, or like, what? Tell me about that track.
The Young People.
Yeah,
it's a song that Dara wrote for the album. I think it's it is explanation. It's all about kind of appreciating your friends and loved ones while they're here.
Okay, The Young People it is. The Live Long Day, by the way, is the album. And we're talking to Lancome, and the dates are New Year's Eve in Galway. Where in Galway?
Roisin Dove,
of course, and Vicar Street in Dublin on the 4th and 5th of January. Here goes.
Oh, the day that they found him swinging, a day they'll not soon forget. Four long years ago.
There you go, music from Lancome. That's a. You see, that was well done, wasn't it? It was a good track.
Yeah.
okay. So, like, metal, is there any, like, would you say ambient and electronic and that kind of stuff?
Yeah,
is part
definitely.
Of your, everything.
Like, Cormac, the fiddle player, he'd be mad into Altecker and Pharaoh Overlord and Aphex Twin and all that kind of stuff, John Carpenter. And then, yeah, like, ambient, like, we're all into Brian Eno. There's a big span of stuff. I suppose.
Because, like, you know, the other side of it is lyrics-wise, and there's always been a vein of defiance that runs through what I would call folk music or music from the people or whatever you want to call it. And would you say, to go back to the first word I mentioned, which was politically aware, that there is something in the lyrics from your points of view, or certainly where you're coming from with your music, that you want to sometimes, not so much make a statement, but say something?
Yeah, I suppose so. Again, it's to do with, like, you are communicating, we as a group are communicating our collective, like, thoughts, you know, and so if you are kind of socially minded, which we are, and if you do think about political issues, which we do, and if you talk about them amongst yourselves, it'll find a way to come out, I think, in the lyrics, but I think we would usually, lyric writing wise, try not to be too explicit or didn't.
No,
that,
but sometimes
you know.
You have to stand up. I mean, the Pope comes to Ireland. There was a lot of protests of different types. One of them was at the old Magdalen Laundry in Sean McDermott Street. And you went there and you sang The Granite Gaze.
Yeah.
A pretty moving moment for the band, yeah?
Oh, yeah. I think we were all in tears afterwards. It actually really felt like that song had been written for that exact moment in time. It was a really strange feeling. But very, you know, it was a tough day.
For that moment in time, and above all for the actual location as well, for the church's treatment of women down through the years. So when you sing a line like "Our daughters sneak across the foam no more," Well, I mean, sorry, that's I'm adding the no more.
Yeah, but it's great to sing that line now and be like, I mean, that is now no longer true in the whole island of Ireland.
Yeah. You know? Yeah, and the whole island of Ireland, of course. Yes, yeah. That's true indeed. Yeah. Okay, so what about then getting back to the sound itself, which is like the dynamics of the sound? You're saying your fifth member is your sound man and that.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like a the whole thing is kind of like a melting pot of different people's ideas. You know what I mean? Like, and people give forward their kind of creative ideas and practical ideas and stuff. And then you just kind of see what seems to be like the best kind of collective thing. But yeah, like you would have been like adding to arrangements and, you know, adding ideas, same as we all would. But in a later way, because we do the kind of writing bit, and then when we then a lot of things were kind of being written still in studio though as well, you know, there'll be kind of like maybe the bones of something or a bit of a structure, and then it can all kind of get changed a little bit or a lot in studio. It depends on the track, and every track's kind of different as well, you know, they come together in different ways, different things are the catalyst. That's the way it is when you're a collective of that many people, I suppose, you know. It's never
You don't have the homework 100% done. A lot of it is just jamming in the studio and see what comes out.
Well, this time around, yeah, it wasn't like that for the previous albums. I think a lot more of the arrangement was done before we went in the studio. But this time, I think we were more confident in going in with stuff that was maybe half finished and going, yeah, we'll just use the studio as another instrument, really.
And we're more used to recording as well, and like more used to being able to like imagine the finished product, even when you're just doing like one line or... I don't know, it become like, this is our third album, and like you definitely get more used to how things work and maybe more able to get what you want out of the time you have in the studio.
Because like one of the reviews, I think it might have been The Guardian or something, which gave you 5 stars, whatever it was, and maybe it was a live thing, it said an exploration and devastation of folk's most conventional tropes with the Katie Cruel track. Right. Now, it sort of, it looked upon you the way you do it and somebody else the way they do it, and they realise, wow, there's something going on with this crowd. Like, do you think people are getting the kind of, I don't want to use ominous, but kind of more that stuff, I don't know, maybe crowd rock influenced part of it, I don't know.
Well, I think that song is like, I think it is an ominous song. It's like the lyrics of it, like, it's really mysterious, and it's kind of like just this song about like really deep rooted regret.
Yes.
You know?
But like, it can drain you by the end of listening to it.
Oh, yeah. Try singing it. Like, that's because like you're trying to like get into that world of the song when you're listening to it or singing it, you know? And it is. It's this kind of very strange, kind of quite bleak place.
Do you think slow songs allow vocals and instruments to kind of breathe and we can really get more from them?
Either slow or like sparse or something. Yeah. Sometimes like that, you know, I don't know, sometimes you taking things away is as good as adding things.
Oh, yeah.
Or something.
The notes you don't play just as important as the ones you do. Yeah, sometimes, yeah.
Like, because we're all like, whenever we talk about like arranging the songs, it's always like about like what makes the song make the most sense, like what's the best arrangement for the song, and nothing is really a given at that point. You're like, whatever makes the song most like communicative or something, or
yeah,
honest,
like
is
entering
the
entering into the reality of the song itself.
Yeah.
And trying to come up with an arrangement that's the most kind of sincere and honors that reality in the best way.
Yeah, but it is nice when people sort of realise what you've done and they like, they really respect it and like it. I mean, to stay with that Guardian thing, an object lesson in how to perform old songs in new ways. It's nice to know, like, that.
Yeah, we've been really
nice
flattered
reviews,
by the reviews. At the same time, it's very important not to to think too much about the reviews, you know, like we always say this, that like we were happy at the end of the process and that's the main thing, and then it can be really mad to see what people write about it, but we've been overwhelmingly lucky in terms of like, it's been very, very positive. I thought we'd get more flack, to be honest. Maybe we do, they just don't say it to us.
Yeah, well, like 2019, right, has been fantastic, and this new album has, I presume, broken through to something entirely different again. Is it much bigger than it was? I mean, the live long day. And abroad too. Where have you been?
Everywhere. My brain.
just got back from Copenhagen.
We were
there.
In
Brussels.
Holland. Belgium. Denmark. And before that, we were up and down England and Scotland. And we were in Ireland. And we're going to France now and to Leeds again.
Really? Oh, and what about America? Are you going back to America next year?
We are going back to America.
That's the plan, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
If they let us in.
With these three albums, not a fourth necessarily. You're not doing another one soon.
No, like we need the you know, like it's actually hard to take to get the time to do the writing and all that kind of stuff. When you have a busy tour schedule, and at the moment we do have a busy, we have a very busy schedule, so we need to just kind of get that done, and then think about the future.
And do you write on the road? I mean, can you get anything together on the road? Like,
we have done. We've got Granite Gaze together on tour.
Yeah, we wrote the Granite Gaze on tour. But it depends on what kind of tour you're on. So each tour can be really different. Like if you have a couple of hours to yourself every day, then it's totally feasible to do something like that. Whereas if you're like up in the van, you know, soundcheck, gig, back in the van, like if it's one of those ones, you just wouldn't. There's not a chance. So it just depends on which tour you're doing.
You know, there is something some people would think that's very sacred about traditional Irish tunes, whatever. But there should never be anything too sacred that you can't, I better not use that word, that you can't mess with them.
Sorry, I've made you paranoid about this word.
I was going to use a different word altogether, actually.
I think that's totally expected. I think even if you look at the past, like so-called masters of the tradition, the authorities on the tradition, if you look at like Willie Clancy or Seamus Ennison, you listen to some of the stuff they were doing while they were playing tunes, they were
out there
messing. They were really out there. And it's
Tommy
like that freedom.
Well,
yeah, Tommy Potts. There's a certain freedom afforded to these like masters of the tradition that people, I think, in some ways aren't afforded now. It's going to look down upon if people try to do the same kind of thing, going out on a limb, like the way you'd hear those old musicians doing. I think that's a shame.
Well, I don't think that's always the case. Like, I think that like some people, when they start innovating, get respected, you know, for doing that. You know, I'm thinking of like Cormac Begley and all those kind of people, and they should, you know. But that is a thing, I suppose, that you need to be able to put part of your own personality into it.
Part of your own personality.
You know, it's going to be a vehicle for self-expression and creativity.
Yeah, exactly.
Also, but like, I mean, a song like "Hunting the Wren," and you know, women living in shelters in Victorian times in Kildare, is it, or somewhere?
In
Kildare. I mean, and the housing crisis that we have now. Would that all be part of something? Would you bring that into it in any way at all?
The housing crisis.
Yeah.
Well, again, it's that thing of like subliminal.
That's what I mean.
We are all really aware of that, and it's affected a lot of us, you know, and our families and all. So, like, you know, that would be kind of something that would be quite present in all of our minds. So, yeah, like that I think that does it ties into,
It goes back to what you were saying about not being too didactic. You know, these things feed into the songs that you're writing, the songs that you choose to play, but in almost like subconscious way sometimes, you know. You don't like, oh, here, we're going to sing about this thing, because you can't do that as well. That's fine, you know, singing protest songs. That's a
valid but you thing are to do, coming from something, everything from punk to, as you say, like, I don't know, any kind of German metal or whatever it is, and folk music as well. And there is a vein of defiance that has always ran through folk music. And sometimes, as you say, subliminal, it's just there.
And sometimes very explicit as well. Like, I suppose like the 60s and 70s was so, like, you know, it was very much like left wing and political, you know, and that was what they were going for.
Well, look, enjoy the road. First of all, enew Year's Eve. New Year's Eve.
I will enjoy Christmas Eve.
Glad we're not playing the gig on Christmas Eve.
New Year's Eve in Roisin Dubh, of course, in Galway. And then 4 and 5 in Vicar Street. And after that, is it, who knows?
In terms of
Ireland, I'm talking about, really, here now. What about some of the big festivals around?
Cork on Paddy's Day, actually.
Oh, Cork. Yeah,
Opera House.
All right, very good.
That'll be a good one.
Because it's amazing how many bands come in that haven't got a clue where their dates are. They can never remember anything. You remember
that's
Cork
all we know
now?
So far. That's all we know.
Trust me, it's hard to keep in your head sometimes.
Indeed. All right, well, look, enjoy the road and enjoy everything else. And thanks a million for dropping in.
Thanks for having us.
Okay, thanks a million, Radio, and thanks a million, Ian, as well.
Dave Fanning on 2FM. 2FM.